Think you can fit in over here yet? Okay. How are you all doing this morning?
Good.
Good? I want three volunteers to answer a hard question. Okay. Justin? Anybody else want it? Timmy? One more volunteer. Okay, Elliot. Okay, so my question is, if you were to rate your life between 1 and 10, how good is your life? One being as bad as possible, and 10 being as good as, maybe as good as can be imagined, maybe as good as can be. Maybe we just put it that way. Do any of you want to try to answer that question?
8.
I think your life is an 8. Okay. Maybe I should have asked the question first and then asked for volunteers. Okay, so what I want to share about this morning is God being a good God and that He is the source of all goodness. And I think if you think about the Lord being our shepherd, like Josh was sharing, if we don't have a good shepherd, we're better off not having a shepherd at all, because a bad shepherd would do a bad job. And if we can't trust that God is doing good, then we have no reason to follow. God has a plan for you, just like a shepherd has a plan for his sheep. God has a plan for you, and God is working out his plan. He wants to make you into something beautiful for his glory, like Josh was saying. And God is good. So all of his plans have to be good. If you find someone who's perfectly good, everything they say, everything they do, and all of their plans are going to be good. We know that nobody is perfectly good, but we know that God is. I want to try to help you wrap your minds around God's goodness. So all of you have a dad, right? So Emily, let's pay attention, okay? Yeah, let's listen to the lesson. So let's imagine, think about your dad, and imagine that he was a rich man. He had more than you can imagine. He just had everything, he was rich in every way. And imagine that your dad was perfectly good. There wasn't anything bad about him. One day your dad hears about many poor orphans. Who can tell me what an orphan is? Someone who doesn't have parents. So he hears about many poor orphans that live far away. So first he sends some of his servants, some of his employees or slaves, whatever you want to call them, to tell those orphans that he's good. And that he wants to employ them. He wants to hire them to work for him. Does that sound like a good plan?
Yeah.
Does it sound like a good plan to hire poor orphans? Then they can have some money and take care of themselves?
Yeah.
It is a good plan.
Yeah.
But then it didn't work out very well, and so he sends his son to pay off their debts, to pay the prices of, maybe they borrowed money from people, or to get rid of the bad things in their life, and to tell them that he wants to adopt them. Does that sound even better? Is it better to be adopted or to be employed?
Adopted.
Yeah. So after his son comes and pays off their debts, then he also sends his children to all the orphans that are around the world. So imagine that your dad sends you to go around the world and tell others that your dad wants to adopt them too. Doesn't that sound like good news?
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only does he want to adopt them, but he has a plan for them to inherit all of his riches. How would you feel if you were an orphan and you were told that somebody wants to adopt you and wants to give you all of their riches and they're the richest person in the world?
Great.
Wouldn't that sound great?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, that's who God is. God is that rich daddy. And he has a plan for all of us to be his children. And he wants to give us all of his riches. So, thinking about him being good and that he has a plan, he's working out his plan. I was reading in Matthew this morning, because it's a new year, I started again in Matthew, and I'm reading the New Testament. And I want you to listen to this story and think about how God works out his plan. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" So we see that God had a plan for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. And not only did he have the plan, but he even he revealed part of his plan to the people. So the priests and the chief priests and the scribes were able to remember what God had said and were able to figure out what God's plan was. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently. So he asked them, "What time the star appeared?" And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." So Herod helped with the plan, and he told the wise men to go find this baby, find this king that's going to be born, or that was born. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they followed a star. God had the plan that a star would lead them where they're supposed to go. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So God had a different plan than Herod. Herod wanted them to come back and tell him where the baby was. But God said they should go a different way. And God worked out his plan. He sent them away a different way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So Herod wanted to kill the baby. But God had a different plan, and God worked out his plan. He told Joseph to go to Egypt. So when Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." So God had a plan for Jesus to be in Egypt so that he could be called out of Egypt and fulfill a prophecy. He was working out his plan.
Jesus was defeated.
Yeah. So after Herod was dead. Oh, okay, so this is before Herod's dead. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, when he realized that the people weren't listening to him, he was exceeding wroth. He got really mad. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So he realized that his plan wasn't working out. So Herod tried to do something else to work out his plan, to try to kill this man, this baby, because he knew the baby was going to be a king. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." So even Herod's plan to kill all the babies was working out God's plan. God already knew that there was going to be weeping, and he had already said that they're going to be weeping for their children. "But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.'" So after Herod was dead, God worked out more of his plan and said that they should, that Joseph and Mary should take the baby and bring it back to Israel. "And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee." So Joseph was afraid because he thought maybe God's plan isn't a good plan. Maybe it's going to work out bad. But God had warned him in a dream and told him that it's going to be okay. And so they went and they lived in Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." So God had a plan even for Jesus to go from Bethlehem to Egypt and then to Nazareth. And all of this worked out to fulfill the plan that God had spoken of beforehand. So I don't know. I hope you guys are able to understand that God's good and that he works out his plan. And I think when I was thinking about what is foundational, even more than that God redeems us, is that he's good. Because if we have a bad redeemer, then we won't even want to follow that redeemer. But God did redeem us, but he's a good God. And so if you guys can remember that God is a good God, I have something here to help you remember. God's given us good things. And as I was thinking about giving out something of value, I was realizing that the things that we receive that are valuable, how valuable they are to us depends on how much value we have in our life. If we have $100, 2 pennies feels like a lousy gift. But if we don't have any money, then 2 pennies is a lot. It's more than we've ever had. How many of you know the song, "Our God is so big," or "My God"? I think it starts with "My God is so big." You know it? I would like to try to teach it to you. So I'll sing it one verse, and then we'll try singing it again with all of you, okay? And you guys can try to help learn the hand motions. "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his,
The rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. Can you guys help me sing that? Okay, let's try. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you.
Okay, you all can go back to your parents.